stay tuned. Wow. Right now I got a room full of people. Gonna give you a little bit of music and be right back at you with the Clatsop Children's Theater Company. I think they're all here in the room right now. It's quite delightful. Thanks for being here, folks. Well, folks, have I got a treat for you. I have got a room full, and I mean full, of mostly young. There's one who's also young, but not quite as young as the others. And that would be Catherine Lacaz. And she brought with her the Clatsop Children's Theater Company. I've got five actors. Are you all actors in the show? Okay. I love it because, have any of you been on the radio before? Raise your hand if you have. No. So they don't know that the trick is that on radio, shaking your head doesn't make a darn bit of difference because nobody can see you. So if I ask you a question, you have to say yes, no, maybe, whatever. Okay? Great. So this is happening. Let me just give you a heads up right away that this is opening tomorrow, the 11th, at the Coaster. But you may say, wait a minute, the Coaster has other plays, and that's true. That's exactly what I said. This is a 2 p.m. I'm going to give out some names. I have no idea. Actually, I'm going to ask you guys to introduce yourself one at a time. But first, Catherine, can you just give us a little bit of an overview? Who is this group? Where did they come from? And what are they doing? And who are you? And, you know, just a few little questions. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. So we are part of the Clatsop Children's Theater Company, which is a nonprofit organization we're trying to get established here in Clatsop County. And so it's just a group that I'm trying to make sure that there are performing arts opportunities for young people in our community. And I'm directing this. And these are just children. They come from Seaside, Astoria, Warrenton, kind of all over Clatsop County.
And how many kids are involved? Because this looks like a full play right here in the studio.
Oh, we have 19 children involved.
Oh, my God. Thank you for not bringing everybody.
Yes, you're welcome.
We could hang some people from the walls, I guess, and the ceiling, but it wouldn't be very comfortable. So, great. Mm-hmm. Very exciting. Now, you've done a lot of theater, and you've been on this show doing your own plays in them and about them. And
yes, that's correct.
Yeah.
I've acted and directed and all kinds of stuff on stage.
And what made you decide that the time was now? Because we do have some children's theater. Of course, we have the Astor Street Opry.
Yeah.
And Missoula Comes to Town. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit different. But what made you decide the time is now?
You know, I have a heart for children's theater. It kind of is something I'm truly passionate about. It's something I know I can give back to the community, and that is kind of what I live for. And I know that, just kind of bringing it all together. You're right, there are different opportunities in these different towns, but I thought it'd be really neat to kind of come together under an umbrella of being an entire county.
Mm-hmm.
And like our entire region coming together and kids from all over.
Great. So. And you have a day job?
Yes, that's right.
What's that?
I work at the convention center in Seaside.
Okay. So. Mm-hmm. So if you see somebody running around doing theater, you'll know. Check it out. Catherine Lacaze. Well, Lacaze, how do you say it?
Yeah, it's Lacaze.
Good. Mm-hmm. I like it. Okay, now I'm going to start with you, and I would appreciate if you would tell us your name and where you're from and also how old you are. Go ahead and lean all the way in. Remember, we practiced.
My name is Daylen, and I'm from out of town in Astoria. And this is my second play with Catherine.
Oh, cool. How old are you, Daylen?
I'm turning 10 in October.
Okay. And you go to what school?
Lewis and Clark.
Okay.
Fourth grade is what I'll be starting.
Congratulations. Okay.
My name is Molly. I'm 12. I go to Astoria Middle School, and this is my second play with Kate.
Also, very cool. Okay, and
My name is Everett, and I live in Astoria, and I go to Astor Elementary, and I'm 7, turning 8 in November, and
is this your first play?
No, my second.
Holy cow, you guys are all experienced thespians. This is so exciting.
Yeah.
How about you?
My name is Haley, and I am 9. And this is my second play with Kate.
And where do you live?
I live in Gearhart.
And do you go to Gearhart Elementary then? Okay. And
My name is Dallin, and this is my second play with Kate, and I live in Hammond, and I am homeschooled, and I'm 12, and I was heading into 7th grade.
Okay, really, so. Okay. Now, how do you spell your name?
D-A-L-L-A-N.
Oh, Dallin. Okay. We have a Dallin and we have a Dalen. Holy cow. You know, neither of those is exactly a common name, and yet here you are. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Okay, so I would like to know, first of all, tell us what the play is. Somebody who, go ahead. We can, and you can all jump in when she's talking.
We are doing the Sherlock Holmes and the Baker Street Irregulars. Basically a group of kids who live on the streets who want to find out what actually happened to Mr. Holmes.
Oh, and I'm sure this is a true story, isn't it?
No.
Well, that was quick.
All the irregulars kind of come from harsh backgrounds. Some of us have pretty awful families, and some of us, were just a group of, like, orphans, mm-hmm. and one of us is a pickpocketer, and...
I just want you to know, folks, that sound is not coming from my guests. That's an outside the studio. Go ahead. Pickpockets, and this is Molly speaking, yeah?
There are...
Were you a pickpocket? Are you an example?
I just have a really awful dad who sold me at a very young age to Sherlock Holmes.
Oh.
He's not the best dad,
oh,
but
I see.
He's pretty great, I guess.
And Sherlock Holmes was in the business of buying children? Had that?
Not really. He just...
He's actually a detective.
Yeah.
I was...
That hired three street children.
Microphone, please. Lean in so we can hear you. Yeah.
Yeah, three... He hired three... He paid three children to help him... Because he was a detective, he was... He paid three street children to help him with cases and...
I see. How do you folks feel about playing the part of children who come from this kind of a background? And we're not going to give the ending of the show, but go ahead.
Well, mine is, I'm like an orphan with a younger sister. And, well, I think... I think I'm, like, the okay one because Chen is the niece of a Tong gang leader.
Oh, my. Oh, I
Molly see. Is the daughter of a very terrible father.
Uh-huh. So how did you get involved in the being part of the Irregulars? If you're so okay, and the rest of them are a mess.
Yeah.
Well, I'm a good artist, and I'm friends with Wiggins.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, I think me and Wiggins have more had a longer friendship.
Mm. So you think having a friendship may be helpful to getting through difficult situations?
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. I like that idea. So do you think the audience, now this is happening, this is tomorrow. You guys are opening tomorrow. Wow. How long have you been practicing, by the way?
2 months.
2 months. Wow. Nice. So it's Saturday and Sunday at 2 p.m. at the Coaster Theater in Cannon Beach. This is a double sponsor. It's the Clatsop Children's Theater Company and the Sunset Empire Parks and, Park and Recreation District. It's also happening next weekend, Saturday and Sunday, the 18th and 19th. Go ahead. What would you like to tell us about being in this play? Has it been fun? Remember, you can't shake your head on the radio.
It's really fun.
Do you think the audience is going to have fun, too?
Yeah, it's funny.
It's funny. Oh, you didn't mention that before. It sounded so tragic. Okay. Are there any adults in this play?
No, there are just really older kids.
Okay.
And I'm actually not an irregular.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually a hired detective.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, I'm a hired.
Oh, you're a hired man. Okay.
Yeah.
Anybody can pitch in. Go ahead.
I think that we have only about two adults actually involved in this play. Inspector Lestrade, who he's the hired detective.
Okay.
And then we have probably Sherlock Holmes and a couple policemen.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
It's pretty
don't
much...
Don't forget Dr. Watson.
Oh, yes. There's a few people,
okay.
But mostly
but they
these
are
cases
played,
solved by kids.
And they're played by children.
Yes.
Because I'm not going to believe that Everett is... is old enough to be a private detective. He's 7.
Probably
okay.
Not.
Okay. So, what is it about theater that you love that you've come back for a second time to do it? Go ahead and pitch in if you have something to say.
Theater for me, it's kind of, I like playing different roles and discovering stuff about myself that, like, and one play I discovered that I could pretend to cry really well.
Oh, great. That's a skill.
Yeah. Yeah. It is. And this play, I've discovered how to be kind of serious in the moment, but still appreciated by the other regulars, and it's been fun.
Have now, all of you have worked together before, but you didn't know each other before you worked together the first time.
No. This is actually basically our first play all five of us have worked together. Like, I've known one of the... Inspector Lestrade is my brother, actually.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And so I've worked with him all the plays. He's kind of tagged along with me. I've seen Chen in one of the plays with me before, and Ash, who's not here today, she was in a play with me.
So how does it feel to come together and work together with people you don't even know for 2 months? Anybody can chip in. Go ahead, start us off, Dallin.
It's for a little while. It's like a little bit weird, kids you don't really know, and sometimes you can't say their names, or you forgot, so you just say the character's name.
Okay. But you've gotten to know each other some?
Yeah. Me and Molly, we've been in plays before.
Right. I'm just thinking, to come together with a bunch of people you don't know, and you guys are ages 7 to 12, and then to spend 2 months working on a project together. So has that built some kind of a family feeling here?
It has for me. I felt like over the 2 months I've gotten to know the people in this group pretty well, and they're my friends and
lovely. Yeah. How about you, Haley? Go ahead. Do you like working with this group?
Yes.
Do you think you would want to do some more theater again?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the rest of you too?
I think theater is amazing for me because my favorite part of theater is the last few parts. Like, the first part, it's not too interesting for me because it's like you're still reading off script and you're still not being able to totally act it.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like, the last month or week of practicing, it's amazing because you actually get to do something. And I think theater's amazing because it's just you get to entertain people and learn from it.
I think, you know what? Unless somebody has something they must absolutely say, I would like to end on that note because that is such a great statement about theater, about the arts, which I believe save lives, and also about why people should come to see you. My guests are Dalen Olson, Molly Lindstrom, Everett Olson, there's that double Olson brother-sister, and Haley Archibald, and Dallin Calder, and Catherine Lacaz is the director. She put all this together, and we will be seeing more. The play is Sherlock Holmes, The Baker Street Irregulars. It is playing at the Coaster Theater tomorrow and Sunday at 2 p.m., and then the following week, the 18th and 19th at 2 p.m. Don't forget the Coaster has their repertory in the evenings. And so this is a wonderful opportunity to catch this group. If you have a child who wants to be part of it, bring the kids. Absolutely bring kids to this. But adults can go without them, too. And you might want to get involved for next time. Thank you all so much for coming in. And I'm going to say, break a leg. Do you know what that means?
Yes.
Okay.
Good luck is kind of
right.
Bad luck. So you say break a leg, it's not really a term to go break your leg. No,
no, exactly. Good. I'm glad you're mentioning that. We don't want anyone to think I would wish that on you. The other thing is that when you bow, you bend your knee, which is kind of like breaking a leg a little bit, you know, bending. So it's a double whammy there. Have a wonderful time, and thank you so much for coming in.
Great. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thanks. And that is I love having the children in the children's theater. Thanks to Catherine for bringing them in. Got some music for you from Adams and Costello. Now, I blew it a little bit because I actually have the pre-release of their album, but it's in Brownsmead. So what we're going to hear is something from their last album and or their earlier album, not even their last album. You better believe it. And be sure to show up on Thursday the 16th. That's this Thursday evening at Gala, because they are going to be releasing their new album, Adams and Costello Meets the World. And Wes Warmond and Evan Jerudic are going to be with them, and the sound is just terrific. Thanks for being here, folks. Coast Community Radio.
Lay down by the river banks on hallowed ground in ancient place. Sunlight and waterfalls, a balance found, wild call. I'm so happy, I've been there. I'm so happy, mountain air. I'm so happy, high and clear.
Yeah, Adams and Costello. And as I mentioned, that's from their earlier album, You Better Believe It. And I'm telling you, you better believe it, because they were in for my folk show on Tuesday, and we played some cuts from the new album. It's very exciting. So I've been enjoying their duo work, and now we have the whole band. Again, it's at Kala on Thursday night. There's so much going on around here, including Astoria Art Walk, which is happening tomorrow evening. It's the second Saturday every month. Galleries and businesses all over Astoria are taking part. And I have a guest here who is one of many, only he's one of a kind. There's no question about that. Tom Kramer is my guest. Hi, Tom.
Hi, how are you doing? Thanks for having me on.
You bet.
Really appreciate it, Carol.
Now, you were here, when was that?
That was 2 years ago, August like 10th, I think, or 11th on 2016.
Okay.
I talked to you, yeah.
So was that your first show at Imogen then?
Yes, it was. And this is my second show at Imogen, and I'm really excited about it. I just saw Terry and the other person, and I'm really excited about the show.
So, exactly. Yeah, that's terrific.
Thanks.
Okay, so it's tomorrow evening. Now, does that, you know, I didn't write it down. Oh, this is one particular painting, but does the show have a name?
You know, not really. What it is I sort of thought about what the common thread was to the show, and I was down in San Francisco about maybe 9 months ago, and I saw the Edvard Munch show, of all things, and something really triggered something that he said when I read the catalog of the Edvard Munch. He made the statement, I don't paint what I see, I paint what I saw. And so that's kind of the theme of these new paintings. They're kind of reflections or memories or dreams about stuff that happened to me, filtered through the sort of psychological prism of experience and actual memory. You know, how you remember something is probably different than what actually occurred. You know what I mean?
Oh, it changes. Are you kidding? It. So absolutely.
So this show, like, one is called Driving in a Car. It's a strange title for a painting, but it's kind of the idea of art as a verb, of something happening in real time. You know, you're seeing the landscape constantly changing. At the same time, you're in a stationary environment. So there's a lot of movement in these paintings, and there's a lot of contrast. I think they're pretty muscular and fairly dynamic. And I don't want to talk too much about myself, but there's a lot of physicality to them this time. I think the paint is more built up this time.
What paint do you use?
I only pretty much, unless I have to use acrylics, I only use oil. I learned on oil, and to me, my analogy is oil paint is like vinyl and analog, and acrylics are like CD or digital. There's something kind of fake to me about acrylics. I'm sort of a snob.
Uh-huh,
I prefer,
I
just prefer, you know,
yes.
I'm an elitist, but I'm not the kind that's bad, you know, like Michael McClure, the beat poet, actually brought that up. He said, well, elitism has gotten kind of destroyed. It's not always bad.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
we'll take it now. I'm thinking, I remember you used a lot of color in the past as
well. Yes, that's my thing. I really like, if I'm
colors.
Not directed otherwise, I tend to use lots and lots of color. There's maybe two or three paintings that I don't know what Terry's going to put into the show, but are deliberately not color. They're black, white, and gray, and then another one is kind of more subdued. It's a wood burning. But in general, you're right. I like the, probably because I like people who are colorful. And one thing, I think of art as kind of personalities on the wall, like inanimate people in a weird way. It's like, I like people who are colorful, therefore I like bright colors.
I'm going to quote you on that.
I just thought of that, you know.
Absolutely. I also read in the press release, but I wanted to read it, and then you can either dispute it or acknowledge.
No.
The idea of the picture as a door to a higher state of consciousness. Towards that end, my work has numerous visual, cultural, literary influences, including everything, nothing, Buddhism, romanticism, irrational mental states, insanity, order, chaos, music, East Indian art, organic patterns, industrial forms, Hinduism, randomness, things with no apparent reason, Alan Watts, Nietzsche, Blake, Beethoven, Bach, Klaus Schulze, and others. Whew. I'm exhausted, first of all. But let me just, although I want you to tell us about that and what your familiarity is with all that, or whether it just appeals or whether you dug into it or what. But one of my goals is to turn the viewer onto an expanded view of themselves, the work to be about the work and not about me. So were you studying spirituality or mysticism, or where did all of that come from?
Well, thanks for asking. Yeah, a lot of that comes from different authors I've always been really influenced by, and one of them is Alan Watts, and another guy is R.D. Lang, who kind of is the guy that thought that it's okay to be insane, and our society is to blame society is insane, therefore insane people are trying to adjust to an insane situation, etc. And then, you know, like Ram Dass and different, and I was raised on classical music, so I know a lot about, you know, the composers I mentioned, and I don't really see any differentiation necessarily between pop music and classical music. I sort of see a continuous thread between all the things I talk about, and I kind of, the way I like to explain it is sort of, I think all of our minds are like kaleidoscopes, you know, and a kaleidoscope is, it's how many rocks you have in there determines how open your mind is. People that are probably more closed-minded have a very narrow number of information in the kaleidoscope, and people that are more broad-minded have a lot of information in the kaleidoscope. But I think brains and creativity and all that work like a kaleidoscope. That's sort of my favorite analogy. I don't think digital is organically based. I think that's why I'm really grateful that the first half of my life was analog, and obviously the second for the rest of time where it's everything's going to be digital.
Well, it's funny you say that, though, because a lot of young people, at least, are going back to the LPs.
Yes.
The vinyl discs,
right.
Probably the same reasons that you mentioned. So who knows which direction we're going.
And by the way, it's not about better or worse. It's just about different. You know what I mean?
Like, and preferences.
Right, and preferences. I've read that, like, in some of the Asian languages, there's no good and evil and good and bad. That's sort of a Western construct. That the closest they can, or ancient Greeks, everything was like order and chaos. Nietzsche pointed that out, by the way. That one of our problems is we tend to, judging things tends to compartmentalize things, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
so let me ask you, and this is coming less about you, more about me, but so how do you make decisions when you've got, you know, the way you've described this whole world and the kaleidoscope, which is one of my favorite,
right.
How does one make a decision, or do you not have to make decisions? Because when you're creating your art, how does that happen? Does it come out organically there?
Yes, very good question. The very short answer is I study plants. I love looking at plants and all organic materials. I like looking at especially flowers and floral forms. If you look at things as if you were a bug and you're looking at something close up, I mean, anything that's out in the universe is not as amazing as what's already in the natural world here, you know. And insects are unbelievable to look at. They some of them look, you know, very military and high tech, and everything that we construct seems to me to be derivative of something that nature already created. So the short answer is I'm definitely influenced by the appearance of different natural forms, even though I don't always understand what I'm looking at. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I have to, apropos of what you just said, I have to say there is a phrase, "Ein chadash tachat hashemesh," there is nothing new under the sun.
No,
you
that's
know?
So true.
Here
Isn't
we are,
true?
We're changing, moving, etc. But and yet it's all new and it's nothing new. That goes back to that quote I read about nothingness and everything. And so now this is wonderful.
Good.
And I can't wait to see the show.
Oh,
let
good.
Me remind folks
Well, bring
again.
Your cousin, by the way. He was great. he kind of warmed me up. He
good,
was, yeah.
good.
Yeah.
Tom, that's my cousin Mike.
Yeah.
Shout out to the Newman and Schwartz families. My guest is Tom Kramer, who is the featured artist at Imogen Gallery, and that is tomorrow night opening from 5 to 8, along with galleries and businesses all over Astoria. Can you tell us, I know you can, would you tell us a little bit about your background? You were very explicit about music. Do you make music, or is it just...
Yeah, I was classically trained. My mother was a church organist, and my dad was a Portland lawyer, and he comes from a more academic... His dad started was one of the founders of Portland State, so his background is more academic. My mom's is more bohemian, artistic, classical music. So I first started out as a musician, and I wasn't very good at it. And just during the music theory classes, this is how it got started. I used to doodle, and I really liked doodling. And meanwhile, my parents were going through this horrible divorce.
Oh.
So I just started. It was a means of escape when I was a teenager. I just would spend hours and hours drawing all the mm-hmm. time in high school. And it just started kind of automatically, and I never turned back. And I had a really wow. good art teacher in high school, and that really helped.
Shout out to the art in the schools. Yes.
I'm a huge, I would have been dead had I not had that teacher. So arts are incredibly important, probably the most important.
Hear. You're in the right place.
Right.
Arts live and local. We believe art saves
lives. Well, Einstein
lives.
Said that. Einstein said, yeah, big deal. I did relativity. I always wanted to play the violin well, and he never could. So that was, and he even said that.
Right.
Then he said imagination is more important
right.
than knowledge, right?
Yeah.
That's a famous quote.
Yeah.
Right.
So tell us what, now, do you have a show up in Portland as well now?
I have a couple pieces, new pieces at Augen Gallery, which is in the Pearl District, mm-hmm. Augen, it's I in German, Gallery, Bob Koch, he's a great guy. He only shows my wood, carved wood reliefs. Terry pretty much is the only person that shows the paintings.
Oh, wow.
I actually personally prefer the paintings, but mm-hmm. they're not they don't have the following, and I don't know, for some reason people think the carvings are really
well,
great and everything.
You know, why don't you tell folks a little bit about the carvings? Because
I definitely got on the map because of the carvings. I'm having an upcoming show at the Jordan Schnitzer Museum next year, probably because of the carvings. He actually collects my carvings. And then my bread and butter is in mural work, which is large-scale painting. I do a lot of murals, and
the carvings, what are we talking about? I've seen it, so I know.
Oh, you know what they look like?
People
really like them, or at least certain people. They're kind of, they're much, much more time intensive, labor intensive. Some people have problems, I guess, would have issues with them because they're heavily craft oriented. You know, just the idea of wood carving is, it's a craft, right? So it's hard to, when you do that, a lot of people like Roy Setzel, there's sort of a ambient line between art and craft. And,
mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
certainly my wood relief pieces are in that terrain.
There. Yeah.
You know, the paintings in this show are more, I guess, immediate and almost alive and more of a direct line from my brain to what I want to do. The carvings, there's lots of steps involved.
Mm-hmm.
By the time they're done, they're many steps away from how I got started. Does that make any sense?
It does.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that you're telling us that because I can imagine that would have to be.
It's sort of like you think of an idea maybe in 5 seconds, and then it takes 5 months to do the idea, and that's what the reliefs are about. A lot of it's just hard work,
mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm,
and almost boring sometimes, just tedious and boring.
Well, that's why some people hire them out. You know?
I refuse to do that because
good.
I don't believe
Thank
in
you.
That because I agree. It really makes me mad. There is I don't want to name names because it's too small of the scene, but there are artists who don't make their own work.
Right.
And I have an issue with that. Yeah,
right.
A lot of us do. Yeah, that bothers me.
But
yeah.
you do make your own work
Absolutely.
From start to finish.
That's right.
Tom Kramer, Portland artist, well-known, and I had read about I didn't read about the content, but I had read about the upcoming Jordan Schnitzer show. That's next year. The treat is, and now that you've mentioned it, I didn't realize that the treat is that right here in Astoria, you get to see a whole spectrum of Tom's work, and especially these fabulous paintings. Just walk in there and you'll be blown out.
Oh, well, thank you, Carol.
They're
so
exciting.
Nice of you.
It's so gorgeous. So.
Well, thank you.
Thank you so much for coming in.
And are you going to come by tomorrow, I hope?
We're going to. If I can't come tomorrow, because I may be at the Celebrating Columbia Riverkeeper.
Oh, you did mention that,
with
right.
With the Indigenous.
God. It would be so great if you could stop by, but anyway.
Yeah. But I will definitely see the show. I might have to stop by today and see the show once it goes up.
Oh, good, yeah, they're probably putting it up right now.
Right, right, and thanks, shout out to Terry for doing
absolutely
such a great job.
Terry is just unbelievable. She's so great to work with, too. She's... I think she has a really good eye and a first-class gallery, definitely the
Imogen Gallery right on 11th and Marine Drive. Thank you so much, Tom Kramer, and
thank
congratulations
you,
on
thank
the
you.
Show. I'm glad
well, thank you,
you came back to Astoria.
Well, I hope to come back again.
I'm sure you will, and we'll be right here, too.
Okay, I'd love to come back. Thank you so much. It was great seeing you again.
You too.
Okay, bye.
Folks, I have something really special here I'm going to put on. Everything on this show is special because it's in the arts and culture. This is something that I just received in the mail. Yes, I solicited, but I didn't know I didn't even know it was out yet. It's called Notorious RBG in Song. That would be Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And it's an amazing album. Hopefully, the opera show will be airing some of this as well. I want to play you just one piece. It's called The Long View, a portrait of Ruth Bader Ginsburg in 9 songs. The notes are by Patrice Michaels, whom you will hear singing, and who wrote it. Number one, it's called The Prologue, Foresight. Justice William O. Douglas could imagine in 1943 that there might be a place for women clerks in Supreme Court chambers. But even years later, top-of-the-law class Ruth was refused just such a position. She had 3 strikes against her, according to the prevailing sentiment. In addition to being female, she was Jewish and a mother. Embedded within this song is the American folk song theme, Pretty Little Girl with the Red Dress On, meant to represent Justice Douglas's sensibilities and Justice Ginsburg's musical motif, DBG. The words, when you say you have, quote, no available graduates, unquote, whom could you recommend for appointment as my clerk? Do you include women? It is possible I may decide to take one if I can find one who is absolutely first class. That is an excerpt of letter by Justice William O. Douglas to Dean Judson Faulkner, University of Washington School of Law, 1943, right here on Arts Live and Local.
Thank you.
So, that was Notorious RBG in Song by Patrice Michaels with piano by Kwang Hao Huang. And you can find this on the CD or Cedil Records, at CEDILLE label out of Chicago. This is brand new, and I am thrilled with it. And I'm thrilled with Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Thank goodness she's on the Supreme Court. So, my next guest is here, my last guest for today. He's got a Supreme Court of his own. Corey Peterson is here, and he and his identical twin brother are going to be conducting. Now, who are you both conducting?
Yep. He's coming back. Yeah.
I love it. So they're both conducting 100. About 100 performers.
If everybody shows up, yes.
And this is at the Astoria High School Auditorium tomorrow evening, 7 p.m.
7 p.m.
And and it's somehow joined up with the regatta. It's one of the regatta.
It's their final event.
Yeah, really?
They have no Sunday events this year. So it closes out, no fireworks, nothing. This is...
Wow, that's terrific.
So I was teasing we're going to have little sparklers at the end. And,
hey, yeah. in the Astoria High School gym, yes. That'll go over big. Yeah, I'm sure. So, congratulations.
That's Thank you.
Very yeah. exciting.
It is.
Now, yours is Columbia River Symphony, mm-hmm. and your brother, his name is Carrie or something?
You mean his group's name?
No, his brother. Your brother's name.
Oh, Carrie.
That's what
I... Yeah, Carrie, Corey, and I have an older brother named Colby.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah.
It was this in case your parents made a mistake, they figured you'd all answer, right?
Something happened.
Okay. So Carrie's group is called the Beacock... That's BEACOCK Music Concert Band, mm-hmm. and they're coming up from Vancouver, Washington.
That's correct. Many of them actually are already here tonight. Mm-hmm.
That's a good thing.
Yeah.
They probably want to get out of there anyway, so I don't know if it still is hot, but wonderful. You've done this before, you and your brother.
I think this is our sixth time. We had 1 year where we had a gap, but other than that, this has been 6 years of doing it, and... you know, there's been rumblings that maybe he was going to move on from that group and do some other things.
But you told him he can't because commitment.
Well, I'm older by 4 minutes, so that's my job here.
I see. You get to be the boss.
Yes.
Okay. So first, tell us what the concert will sound like or what are you doing with the concert? And then also... How do you guys do that? How does it work? I mean, I understand you do yours and he does mm-hmm. his, but then how do you integrate the whole thing? Or not?
Okay, well, yeah. So every year when we do this, his group goes first, and so they perform for about 20 minutes or so.
Okay.
And so they get to highlight his group and his ensemble, and they're a little smaller than us, about 30. Mm-hmm. And then we take a brief 4 or 5 minute break, and then all of a sudden the Columbia River Symphony musicians come on, and we get to kind of show off, and we tease each other who's got the better group and all that. It makes for some friendly competitions.
Now, how many are there in CRS these days?
This one, we're up to 68.
Whoa!
So we're doing very, very well.
That's wonderful.
And then intermission, we put everybody together.
Oh,
and,
nice.
And so what happens is I typically pick the music for the combined groups because he does a lot over in Portland, Vancouver. And so he wants me to tackle that job. Mm-hmm. And so we decide who's going to conduct the piece about 3 days ago. which piece?
That will relate to my next question, is how the heck you put it together. So,
and then,
go ahead.
And then, like I said, everyone comes together about 5 hours before the concert.
Ah.
We rehearse for a few hours, and that's what happens.
And these are all professional at this point, professional musicians, although...
Majority of them, yeah.
Now, are his musicians all adults?
All of them are, yeah. And actually, his group started off as the New Horizons group. If you were retired, they're creating a space for those individuals to play. But it's changed hands over the course of that New Horizons program, mm-hmm. so it's gotten a little bit younger. But yeah, it's all adults in that ensemble.
And your group is what's the age range?
It's a little older than it has been. I'm going to say we don't have very many middle school kids, but definitely high school. So I'll say 16-ish, all the way up to, every time I say, I'm not going to guess.
Ish.
Yes.
70s? 80s?
I'll say 80s.
80s?
Yeah. Yes.
Wow. Yeah. What a fabulous thing, though, to bring all these people together.
Yeah, this is... Yes, I think that's been key for the success of this group, and just lots of wonderful things going on. You're going to see during this concert, the mayor of Astoria, Arlene LeMaire, is going to be actually playing.
What?
She's going to play one piece.
On what?
Crash cymbal. She's going to play percussion.
Oh, my goodness. Good for you
so
for
with
getting...
Classic okay. Community College, she won an auction to be able to play.
Oh, I love it.
then we have a wonderful gal, Dana Jones, singing from Seaside, coming in to sing a beautiful ballad with our pianist, Matthew Grauf. And then I'm very excited about this. We've never done this, but a soprano young boy singer in eighth grade, Logan Crichton, coming all the way from St. Helens to sing not only a piece with the string orchestra, but also the full 100-piece ensemble. And he's never done anything like this before, but boy, he is so excited.
What is he going to be singing?
It's called In Dreams. Actually, it's a Pops concert, so it's from the movie The Lord of the Rings.
And
so it's a very, very beautiful piece.
Oh, my goodness. That's exciting. So, I don't think I mentioned that. It is the Summer Pops Extravaganza. It's happening at the Astoria High School Auditorium. That's probably the only place that could accommodate
venue.
You. And it is tomorrow evening at 7 p.m., closing out the Clatsop County Regatta. What else are we going to be hearing?
Let's see. I brought my music here.
Okay.
I'll share a few from an older movie that I've never seen before, but I love the music, Somewhere in Time. Star Wars, we have the new Jurassic World, not the park movies, but the new Jurassic World movie scores. Lord of the Rings, Wonder Woman. We have two more variations of Lord of the Rings. And then one that's the hardest piece Columbia River Symphony has ever done by far.
Oh.
It's Samuel Hazo's Arabesque, and it's Arabic music, dances from all sorts of different contexts of music, of how they differentiate the sounds and scales that they use, and improvisations and all sorts of stuff. It is very inspiring to listen to. And when I'm directing it and the symphony hits it on the right spot, I get those goosebumps, and I am so forgetful where I'm at. It's so exciting.
Be careful, Corey. Be careful. So now, are those the pieces that you're playing together, or that was
Columbia River? Arabesque and Wonder Woman are the ones that CRS is doing, and then the other ones are all combining together.
Okay.
And my brother's got some more contemporary concert band pieces, and also he's doing some jazz stuff from Glenn Miller as well.
Oh, okay. Boy, it's going to be quite diverse then.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so exciting. What kind of length would you say? A couple of hours or 5 hours?
Just 10. No. No, I'm going to say we're going to start at 7. We should be done 8:50-ish, 9 o'clock.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So this is for the whole family for sure. This, when you started naming the, now you're a lot younger too. So when you started naming the films that it's coming from and the productions, I thought, I get it. Okay. Definitely a family concert.
Yes, it is.
And it's going to be 100 musicians from Vancouver, Washington, and all over Clatsop County, Columbia River Symphony. You know what? I've got some music here. What is this?
This is Arabesque, the one I just was talking
about. Oh, great.
I'm
going to put it on. Let's listen to a little of it, and then we'll be right back at you.
Yep, that's fine.
So I am dancing out of my seat to this because this is the kind of music I dance to. A little less orchestrated, but the same melodies. I love it, Corey. So how did your musicians react to it?
Well, this is when I was listening to it at home, and my wife was dancing in the kitchen, and she doesn't really do that kind of stuff to some of the music I listen to. And I said, "Do you like this?" And she said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, I'm thinking of doing this for Columbia River Symphony," and I thought, "Man, it's going to be too hard." But then I thought, "You know what? Darn it, let's give it a shot." So I played it for the musicians, and as soon as it was done playing, they were clapping and excited. So I threw the music in front of them. We sight read it for the first time, and as soon as we're done, they did a really good job of playing it for the first time, and we knew right then and there we can do this. And the morale of the whole group just shot up a million times. They were so excited. And so they're very excited to perform this tomorrow.
Well, I love the idea that you... Where did you hear it, by the way? Where did it come
from? I go online, the different mm-hmm. sheet music sites, and I just listen to music for hours on end.
Nice. Well, right. I think it's very exciting because you have brought a whole new world of music to your musicians and now to the general public. Yeah. Again, folks, you can catch Arabesque and lots more music, stuff you will definitely recognize from. And what's your website, Columbia?
ColumbiaRiverSymphony.org.
Okay. And the concert, which is going to be together with the Beacock Music Concert Band from Vancouver, Washington. That's Corey and Carrie Peterson. They are identical twins, 4 minutes apart, and Corey is older. Let's tell everybody. Okay. Tomorrow night at Astoria High School Auditorium, end of regatta. Thank you so much for coming in, Corey.
Thank you, Carol.
Thanks for bringing the music to me. Great. Okay, and it is almost closing time. I did want to let you know a few things that are happening. Be sure to check in on the Astoria Second Saturday Art Walk. Ed Peterson was my guest last week. Lightbox has The Sacred, Riverseed, Dawn Gray. There is so much going on. Many, many galleries and businesses have music, have art. Also, Astor Street Opera Company, we saw it last night. Shanghai and Astoria, it was great. Tomorrow night, and next Thursday. Coaster has Baskerville, a Sherlock Holmes mystery, and the musical. They alternate. Go to their website. And the Children's Theater, you heard from earlier, at 2 p.m. tomorrow and Sunday. The regatta tonight is at the Barbie Center, the Admiral's Reception. Also today, Fort Stevens at 7 o'clock with Storyteller, Manzanita Lighthouse. Fort George has an outdoor film about 9. The Adrift is featuring Jason O'Neill Butler of Green Mountain Guild. If you missed him this morning on Albert's Friday Folk, you can find it in coastradio.org archives. He's fabulous. He's at the Adrift, and Saturday is Castletown, and they have music every night. Seaview Galetti's Restaurant has Tanz tonight with Judy and Charlie, and Saturday they have Sea Strings with Bill and Janet, and Umphi is playing at the Public Coast Brewing Company in Cannon Beach. I couldn't help it. I had to say that word. Finisterre is in Manzanita Saturday. It's Robin Lieberman's pastel paintings. And Winecraft has Sugar Thistles, Waikiki Beach, Sand Dune, Columbia River Symphony, we talked about, and the Sou'wester, the Heart Hunters. On Sunday, don't miss the Natel Grange Benefit from 3 to 8. It's going to be fabulous with food from the Scorcher, vegetarian dinner, and music by the Horsenecks, which you heard earlier, and also country dance, and then Sand Dune with Jerry Joseph and the Jack Mormons. That one goes out to Don Thomas. Manzanita Music Festival is having a fundraiser the next night with Jerry Joseph. And Tuesday, Peninsula Players have auditions. Clatsop College has a movie. The Liberty Readers Theater starts on Wednesday, goes Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then the following week and next week, tune into Arts Live and Local, and you will hear Sen talk about that. And don't forget Adams and Costello at Gala on Thursday night. And now, don't forget, you're listening to Coast Community Radio, KMUN Astoria, KTCB, Tillamook.